I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Parenthood. The saying goes, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. I'm sure every parent listening agrees with this, but happiness, especially in uncertain times, is elusive. And while as parents we have a degree of control over our children's lives, ensuring they're happy is sometimes extremely hard to achieve. With me today is someone whose study of the science of happiness resulted in the creation of a business. Francesca Gaines is a mother of two who noticed the positive impact of daily journaling on her own well-being and wondered whether her children could reap the benefits too. She founded the Happy Self Journal, a daily journal for children that uses scientifically proven methods to promote happiness and develop healthy habits for life. Francesca, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm a big fan of what you've done. And when I first heard the story of how your journalism inspired you to create something for children, I was really impressed. But I'd love to start talking about that. So this was before the business started. You felt you'd started journaling and felt that really had a positive impact on your life.
Yes, absolutely. I was running a completely separate business at the time, got two kids, busy life, busy house. And I started journaling. I mean, I'd been journaling in different forms for years, but I'd kind of moved on to gratitude journaling in particular. And I'd also been using a book called The Daily Stoic, which has a kind of journal associated to it. And I just really noticed a shift in my own mindset and the way I was reacting to things and dealing with challenges. And it all kind of coincided with schools encouraging us parents to read Carol Dweck's book on mindset. And it all just kind of like came together for me. And we as a family had been trying various things at home. You know, we'd been sharing our gratitude practices at the table with the kids. We'd been experimenting with switch off times and family reading times. And I'd really noticed a shift in everyone's general just feeling, you know, well in themselves. And it just all kind of came together, and I really felt I wanted to create something that could help, you know, my children. I couldn't find a product. Like, I wanted it to be a physical book. There's lots of apps around, but there's something very special about pen and paper and quality kind of stationery. I am a bit of a stationery geek. So yeah, it had to be a beautiful physical book.
Fantastic. And you said you sort of study the science of happiness. Do scientists know what makes us happy?
This is so interesting. I had picked up on this. You get these like little articles in the paper and they'll say things like, oh, studies have shown that if you spend time in nature, it decreases your stress levels. I'm like, but why? And they're like, oh, scientists have shown that if you get it. And so like neuroscience and neuroplasticity started coming up in these like little snippets in the press about this makes you happier. And I just thought, this is so interesting. I started diving into this. And I ended up doing a whole course at Berkeley University online called The Science of Happiness that takes you through the history of happiness and the kind of studies that have been done and the studies that are being done and what they show and what the kind of practices are that emerge from that can be applied to daily life. I thought this was like the most interesting thing ever. And there's all this stuff in there that like I didn't know about. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like I'm quite well read, and I just like, why doesn't anyone tell you this? Like that the kind of gratitude journaling I'd been doing, like the research is so interesting. And there's all these other, like I had no idea about the impact that kindness has on our kind of well-being and our physical health. There's like physiological changes that happen when we practice kindness. All of this stuff was absolutely fascinating. So I just did a big old deep dive into that topic and decided I wanted to bring out those practices that I felt were kind of the simplest and the ones that were easiest to adapt for kids and like fun to do, because some of them are not as easy as others. And so I kind of sprinkled those into the journal so that as the kids fill out the journal, they're encouraged to do these practices, but without anybody really telling them. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you feel the impact without kind of necessarily it being kind of feeling like a kind of chore, some sort of like workbook type experience? So it's really, we worked a lot on the page layout and the design to make sure the kids, you know, wanted to fill it out, which was my big, that was a big motivation.
And so we're going to obviously talk about journaling and the positive impact of that. But going back to the sort of science of happiness, what were there sort of a few principles of things that made us happy? What does make us happy?
So what the kind of underlying studies seem to show is that a lot of it has to do with learning to appreciate what we have and looking for the good in our day. We often very easily will dwell on what has gone wrong. Our brain is great at ruminating on problems and remembering all the issues. But actually, if we can shift that and focus on what has gone well, it seems to have a really big impact on how we feel. A lot of the practices also have to do with boosting connection. So when we practice kindness, like we're very social beings. And so when we practice kindness, for example, it also reinforces that kind of pro-social behavior, and that has a strong impact on us. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, as a society, we're becoming a lot more lonely, kind of that is seen, and that has real health implications. So practices that encourage activities that will help with connection, help us find the good in our day, and just are able to like be in the moment, I think are the ones that seem to make the biggest difference. And being able to reflect on those that have helped us, again, which draws it back to connection. So interestingly, the one act that seems to have given like the single greatest happiness boost is if you can write a gratitude letter to someone in your life that you feel has had a positive impact and that you haven't really properly thanked, and even just writing them a one-page letter, preferably then delivering it in person. But even if you don't, just that act of writing it has been shown to have an amazing impact on how we feel.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's interesting, actually. We're recording during the pandemic, during lockdown number three. I've actually lost track of how many lockdowns we've had now. But I've tried in the last few weeks, tried to send a text to one person a day that is simply just, "I think you're great. What you do is brilliant." Just something that's complimentary and will hopefully land a smile on someone's face. And I'm reaping the benefits of that. I'm not getting any, but I'm definitely reaping the benefits of that.
Absolutely. That's the lovely thing about this act of kindness. Like, you will feel the benefit, and the people receiving those lovely messages will feel the benefit. But the even lovelier thing is the fact that they're receiving it will make it more likely for them to be kind in turn. And so there's this lovely ripple effect that happens. So you're spreading lots of lovely kindness waves everywhere.
And learning to appreciate what we have, I can absolutely see how failing to do that will make you unhappy, and being able to do that will definitely make you much happier, especially in a challenging situation. But that sounds like something that's easier said than done. How is that something journaling can help us with?
Yeah, I think that is something that journaling can really help us with. So in our journals, we have structured pages. And so there's lots of different types of journaling. You know, lots of people will have just a blank page and they'll just, you know, write whatever they want or just write about gratitude. And that's great, but it can be a little bit overwhelming. So we went for a structured page. And so we talk about the top three things. The science talks about three good things, which is based on a kind of classic study where people were encouraged to keep a gratitude journal and record three good things every day for a week. And they measured their happiness at the end of the week, like a month later, 3 months later, and even 6 months later. And even 6 months later from that one exercise, there was still an uplift in their happiness levels. And so the act of taking the time to be quite thoughtful about the three good things is important. So all the practices kind of show that you do need to practice them. So it's a bit like sports. You know, if you want to get good at any type of sport, you do need to practice. So it's the same with any of these. But you need to be quite kind of, can't think of the word, quite kind of conscious that you're doing it. So it's not just going like, oh, I've had a really great day. That is not gratitude practice. It's about sitting down and going, what made this day great? And it can be the tiniest things. So it can be like, I went on a walk and I saw a little robin. I saw spring flowers, somebody made me a cup of tea, or my kids came and gave me a big cuddle, or, you know, the cat did something funny, or whatever it is. It can be these little moments of joy in your day. And consciously just taking the time to write those down and reflect on them is what makes that so meaningful. And I think doing that as part of a journal is just very nice, because you're needing to write it, you're having to take time out, there's no screens, there's no distractions. And when we do it with our kids, the lovely thing is we can talk about it as well. And that's such a special moment. So with like the younger ones, you can fill it out with them and, you know, help them think about their gratitudes. They do need a little bit of prompting to get going, or you'll get the like, oh yeah, lunch at school is really good. Or that will come up every day. Oh, the food was really good. But then you can drill into that. It's like, well, what about it made, why was lunch so good? Or maybe they sat next to their mate and they had a laugh, or, you know, maybe the dinner lady made a joke, or it was like their favorite dish and there's something about it that, you know, that just gives them real comfort in eating their favorite food. So you can drill down into what is it about that moment. Even if kids say things like, oh, I'm grateful for my phone, which at parents, like, we might roll our eyes at first and go, oh my goodness, you know, you were very, you'd be like, can't believe you'd say that when this children's starving, how can you be grateful for your phone? But actually, you drill into it, you can find some real goodness. So like, why are you grateful for your phone? Maybe it's because it allows them to listen to music and actually that makes them relax. Maybe on their phone is where they connect with their friends, so they have a laugh and, you know, that makes them feel connected, and especially at lockdown at the moment, that's really important. So I think we can always drill down into like, what is it about that moment that was so especially, you know, joyful or special or worth kind of noting for us?
And does the time of day when you do this matter? I mean, typically people write a journal at the end of the day, and does sort of these positive thoughts before you go to sleep, and, you know, increasingly we're understanding a bit more what happens in our brain while we sleep. Is it better done at the end of the day, or does it not really matter?
It doesn't really matter. I mean, there are some studies that were done that showed that journaling at bedtime helped with sleep. And certainly that is very much the feedback I get from parents, because it allows us to stop those ruminating thoughts, end the day on a positive, maybe share the worries that have been building up. And kids often don't know how to tell you about a problem. There just isn't that, it's awkward. You know, there isn't necessarily that prompt. However much we think that they would tell us anything, it can be difficult. And when they have that time at the end of the day, which is the time to do the journal, it's part of the structure, and that's a great opportunity. There's less barriers for them to like share a worry. So they get it all out of their head, think of some positives. And so, yeah, the kids and the science clearly shows it will help you sleep better, but you can do it at the start of the day. I've had lovely messages from families where they all have a journal and they sit down at breakfast and they'll each read their different quote of the day. They'll share their top three things. They'll spend a little bit of time reflecting, and that sets them up for a positive day. And, you know, that works just as well. I think it's all about, the most important thing is doing it. So if for you doing it means it's at lunchtime, then that's better than not doing it. But I tend to encourage like a bedtime practice. I have my journal literally on my bedside table. I know I will see it and therefore do it. So it needs, I think it's, you know, it's good to cue these things with something you're definitely doing. So you definitely have, like, you know, Teddy and your reading book by the kids' beds, or you have your bedside table with your hand cream or whatever. And like, if I know it's there, I will pick it up. It is the last thing I do before I go to sleep.
And so obviously we've talked about sort of kindness, we've talked about sort of reinforcing what we do and what we don't have, and the sort of reflection of those positive thoughts. How else does journaling help us in terms of sort of the science of happiness?
Yeah, so I mean, in our journal, I brought in various other little prompts. So again, it depends on how you use your journal. For a lot of people, it can be more about, you know, it doesn't have to be that they're writing about gratitude. They might just want to, like, just more creative, just get any idea, you know, all the thoughts and worries out of their head. So get rid of ruminating thoughts. I mean, there's one lovely exercise, which is one of the, like, happiness exercises, which is more about journaling and imagining your best positive self. So where you actually go forward, say, 5 years and think about, if everything were to go right, what would my life really look like? And like, just write a, you know, for 15 minutes about every little detail that you'd like to happen. And studies show that if we kind of take a more practical view of what things could be like, we're more likely to embrace the ability to make those changes and feel more positive about what's possible. So that's another way of you know, putting pen to paper. We prompt for things like, obviously, kindness. We prompt for things like mindfulness, which, you know, is a whole separate practice. And again,
but presumably just doing a journal is a form of mindfulness.
That's what, because I always say, you know, people are like, yeah, mindfulness can still feel, sadly, a little bit woo-woo, like, what does it actually mean? And yes, it can mean listening to a mindfulness app like Headspace or Calm. It can mean doing some breathing exercises, which have really been shown to, like, the way they impact our nervous system. It really affects our ability to deal with stress, which is useful. It can mean just having switch off time and sitting with your thoughts. And I really think that this is something we've lost these days. Like, we're so busy, we're so switched on, we're so connected.
And everything's so automated too. We've sort of lost that kind of, you know, a job where you're just not having to think. I mean, my father always says, like, his mindfulness is mowing the lawn. And I've taken up sewing in lockdown, and I love it. And I really don't know why I love it, because it's not that exciting. The other day I was like, I'm not going to watch Netflix. I want to do my sewing.
That's
and I was just like,
exactly
how did... But I think it just enables me to think and kind of process my thoughts.
It's exactly that. It's just having the space to be without distraction with your thoughts, which is something we have lost as adults. And I think our kids are sadly not even experiencing it, because they're even more connected than we are. So if we can give our children the space to be quiet with their thoughts. And I think it's really important, you know, because we talk about happiness, but it's about the whole range of emotions. It's definitely not about feeling joyful and everything being perfect. That is not what it's about. It's about being able to cope with the range of emotions, being able to reflect on them all, feeling more resilient in coping. Because if you're happier, you will be able to deal better with the problems. And, you know, however much we hate it, we're all going to have problems, and our kids are going to have challenges, and we need to make sure that they are as well equipped to deal with them. And certainly for me, I think one of my big drivers was, like, I mean, I certainly felt, you know, going through school, and certainly by the time I hit university, like, I was not well equipped to deal with challenges. I really could have done with this stuff then. I could have done with a journal. And I think there's just a lot to be said with giving our children, like, those tools as young as possible so they can help look after themselves.
Yeah, I remember having a diary when I was like 11, and I found it the other day, and it's just so not what a journal should be. It's literally like, I woke up, I had toast and honey for breakfast. Then we went to school, I had maths, then it was science, then we had break time, and I ate some biscuits. It was literally... But no one told me what was important about a journal. I thought, you know, I literally had to sort of itemize what happened in my day. But if I'd had a journal like that, which was actually prompting me to really reflect on the things that mattered in my day, that also, in retrospect, would have been so much more interesting for me to read about.
Yes.
It would have been great.
It's so true. I came across this great quote the other day. So Marcus Aurelius, he, you know, his meditations was his, like, personal journal, really. He didn't write that for publication, but in that he's reminding himself at the start of the day, like, today I will encounter annoying, rude, you know, kind of horrible people. Like, I will encounter all of these issues. I must be prepared. And I think, wow, that's actually super useful. You know, if we can just go out and go like, no, life is going to be tough today. There will be issues, but like, I'm ready for them. And actually just be like, okay, I'm ready to take on the day and not go out, oh, today's going to be perfect, and then be very upset when you've got issues. So I think just having that space to like prompt and think about different things, and, you know, how can I be kind today? Who can I help today? But also we prompt for things like, who is kind to me? Which I think is a really important part of, you know, the happiness kind of science, is like when we can recognize what others do for us, because that allows us to then reflect back and be grateful, but also give it back. So, you know, who was kind to me? Like, oh, you know, the teachers, or my mum who's always cooking me dinner, or the, you know, all my laundry was done, or whatever. Like, these are little things we might not necessarily see, but it's good to be prompted to reflect on, because we're actually surrounded by it, but we just don't really see it anymore.
Do you ever read your journals back? Do you go back, you know, have many years or months, and have a look about what you're writing about?
I have an entire cupboard of like old journals. I go right back to childhood. I kept a lot of travel journals. Every time we move, we're kind of like grown at putting them in and out of boxes. And then I have a little peek. And some of them are very much like the one you described. It's like, oh, took this flight and then the train left at 12:05 and we did this. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so boring. But then every time you do pick up some like gorgeous little gems of like, oh, that happened. And then actually, if only it had been structured, like you say, to like, what were the actual three best parts of your day? It would be so much better. But yes, I do have a whole load, and it's actually quite nice to look back at the gratitude journals, especially. And it reminds me a bit of what we're doing at home. I don't know if you've heard of this lovely concept of like keeping a gratitude jar, where instead of everybody writing it in their journals, like maybe once a week you think about some, you know, little nice moments of the week. You write it on a tiny piece of paper, put it in a jar, and it fills up over the year. And then we MTR is like in the new year, kind of New Year's Day or whenever near then. And then you read them out and you see what everybody was recording for the year. And that's actually just a really nice way to look back and reflect.
That's such a lovely thing to do. Because I do think that reflection, both in the moment but also retrospectively, I think is so important. I was talking to my sister, who has like one of those 5-year diaries, so it's like 5 years, and she says she always looks back to the previous years, and she said one thing she noticed is that when there's a crisis or when you're having a difficult time at home or work or with your relationships, it feels so consuming. Like right now in the pandemic, it feels like it's never going to end. We're going to be locked down forever. We're going to be in an economic crisis forever. We cannot see the other side of it. But the thing is, life does move on. Spring will come. Summer will return. International holidays and flights and travel will resume. But it's so difficult to imagine this. And I think sometimes when you reflect on what was going on in your life a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago, you think, oh my God, I thought that was the end of the world. You know, that fight I had with someone, or that disagreement, or that problem with work. And you think, not only did I get over it, but it seems inconsequential in the larger picture of life, which I think is a really important and healthy thought to have.
It's so true. It's so true. And actually, that reminds me of another one of the happiness practices, which is, and I thought this one was particularly charming. And again, I'd never heard of this concept, but it came through when I did that course. And it's a concept of an awe walk, so exposing yourself to an awesome experience, which is what we get like when we go into nature, or you go and visit a, you know, you go to a mountain, or you suddenly see an amazing view, and you know how you feel like, wow, this view. So the scientists look at this, which to me is just fascinating. And so this exposure to something like vast and overwhelming actually helps us put everything into perspective. Like suddenly we feel small compared to all of our problems and everything around us. And that's, it's a little bit like what you're saying, like just having, being able to put things into perspective. So yes, I think we should all go more on all walks, which you'll be pleased to know the science shows that it doesn't need to be a trip to like the Grand Canyon. You can actually go around an urban setting and see a beautiful building or go into a museum or something like that.
I was reading about this the other day and I went to get a takeaway coffee and I was standing outside while it was being made and I was on like a busy road in London and I was about to go and look on Instagram and then I thought, no, I'm going to try and find awe on Ladbroke Grove. And I sort of looked up to these amazing plane trees that have been there for like hundreds of years and I thought, oh my God, it is amazing how big they are, how they grew from nothing, how they're so resilient. You know, they still manage to flourish in this really urban environment where people chuck rubbish at the base of them. And that just like 2 minutes of appreciating the awe that surrounds me that you take for granted if you see it every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's just so lovely that once we're aware of these little practices, and they're so simple, really, we can start bringing them into our day. And over time, it just genuinely, has and does make a difference. One of the loveliest things with my kids when we kind of started doing the kind of, daily gratitude practice and the top three things. And at the beginning, it is slow going, especially for the age that my youngest was. Then they suddenly get it. It takes practice, the neuroplasticity, everything's rewiring, they're kind of working on it. And then suddenly with my youngest, what ends up happening is you just get like a running commentary. Something happens, he's like, Mama, that's one of my top three things. And like you go through the day and he starts just giving you like live top three things as they happen because he's noticing it. And then you know that you've kind of got through that initial phase. And then, it all becomes easier to like keep that habit going and help them become even more kind of, precise with what it is they want to, record as gratitudes for the day.
One of the things that you have talked about previously is how the reason that kind of positive thinking really matters is that the more you do it, the stronger those neural pathways become, so that you're more likely then to interpret a situation as positive and see the good side of things as opposed to the bad side of things. Can you explain that concept to me? Because I just thought it was fascinating and a really interesting thing to share with my children.
It's so interesting. A lot of the research, that we mentioned about the gratitude practice and all of that. So the original studies that were done were very much like measure someone's happiness before, do the intervention, measure again. But like now kind of the neuroscience is catching up and able to look at it kind of from a neuroscience point of view and explain it all on a scientific level, which again is really interesting. And so I think one Canadian scientist said something like, neurons that fire together wire together. So it's basically like the pathways that you work strengthen. And so if you are strengthening the positive pathways, they will be releasing the neurotransmitter. It's like the dopamine that makes us feel good. And you're strengthening that. And so you're literally helping your brain look for the positives. Whereas if, the opposite is if we're like ruminating and we're being very negative, then those are the pathways that are being exercised, so to speak, and that they will be then the stronger ones. So it's this neuroplasticity that happens in the background that helps with that kind of shift in mindset and outlook.
So we can, there's this sort of idea that we're born certain people, and I do believe that we are born with certain personalities, but I also think it's really positive and empowering to know that you can slightly change your mindset. In terms of, if you're a sort of glass half empty someone, then that can be changed. You can wire yourself to be a bit more glass half full.
Absolutely. I think it was Sonia Lubomirsky who did the research and she came up and it was something like, 40% of our happiness is kind of up for grabs. I think these are very rough figures, but I think the gist of it is there is a significant proportion that is up to us. I think 50% is genetic. So yes, a lot of people will be predisposed to a certain particular way of being. 10% is kind of your environment. But then the significant factor is up for grabs. And that's where, we decide what are those positive habits. Do we want to do exercise, eat healthy, focus on our sleep, do our gratitude, do all of these things that we hear, people tell us are good for us. And if we take those up, then yes, we can make a significant shift in how we feel. And I think it's been so refreshing, like Joe Wicks in particular has really shifted people's I think, mindset on, say, exercise. You know, exercise used to be this thing where it was more about like weight or like health, like whatever that actually means. But, you know, he talks now so much to the kids about you feel great. You're going to exercise, like you will feel good at the end of it. Even if you don't want to do the exercise 20 minutes later, you have that lovely feeling because you are working your body and helping it release the chemicals that make us feel good. And so I think it's really important to, you know, kind of shifts the view on our view on kind of happiness and well-being. And it's like, what can we do to help ourselves? What are these habits? How do we bring them into our day so that, you know, they are just there, easy to do, constant?
One thing that I speak to everyone, there's not quite enough hours in the day. I find, you know, especially, you know, pick the kids up from school, there's homework, there's clubs, there's dinner, there's reading, there's talking. And then there's like journaling. I think a lot of parents think, oh my God, it's another thing to do. How long should it take for a child?
Oh, it can just take a couple of minutes. No, literally, I'm totally with you there. Like, totally. No one's going to do something that is like yet another like printable homework, chore, handwriting, sneaky handwriting. I often see comments, this would be really great for, you know, their handwriting. I'm like, no, it is not for handwriting practice. Like, you know, that's not the point, because again, that might cause friction. So I really think it should just be a couple of minutes, and not like as part of kind of schoolwork. So very separate. That's why I think tying it into bedtime is so positive, because you're relaxed, maybe you've had your bath, you're in your pajamas, it's the last thing you do, kind of cuddles at bedtime, teddy, books, stories, whatever the kind of, you know, routine is for the age. And then filling out the journal, you know, we've got like a little positive quote or affirmation, so reading that out, maybe talking about it, you know, do you know what it means, do you agree, do you disagree. Then there's the top three things, you can do that together. I always like to give my own examples just to help the kids kind of see the range of things you can mention. And then we have our little emoji of the day, which again, they just need to circle one or two, or it doesn't, you know, they can pick more than one, but it's, that doesn't take long, but often that sparks some really important conversations. So for example, like I'll get messages from parents saying, oh, you know, they had an amazing day, they like no problem doing their top three things, but then they circle the crying emoji and then they start telling me about all these issues, and I'm like, that's so important. Like, that is exactly what should be happening. Like, they feel safe enough to actually share with you, but also to realize that they can have a good day but still have like a problem, and that, you know, one doesn't, you know, cancel out the other. So that's a really important part of it. And then the bottom of the page, we tend to have like little checklists. So again, and those prompt kind of, you know, positive behaviors or kindness or friendship. There's like little prompts again. So it's very quick. Like, they're not having to, you know, there's not like a blank page where they need to write loads. And with the younger ones, I mean, even my son, he's 11. He's not really into handwriting. Handwriting's not his thing. So he actually still likes it when I fill it out for him. He'll lie in bed, chat away and tell me everything, and I fill it out and he'll kind of reach over and like circle the emoji. So, you know, you can do it that way. And I think the most important part is that you're filling it out and going through the page structure and talking about stuff.
And should you always do it with your child, or should your child sometimes do it on their own?
It depends on the child. I think the child should guide you on that. I think the younger ones like to do it together because it's a very special one-to-one time that they really cherish and value. Certainly as they get older, like my daughter, I mean, she's 15 now, so definitely that's private. But she probably started keeping hers private probably from the age of 12. She was keen to do it herself. But there's younger ones who are keen to do it themselves and who want to keep it private, or if I hear from parents, sometimes they choose to share pages. And I think the most important part is you respecting their wish.
Yeah, I was going to ask, should you ever read it?
Oh, I don't think you should. No, I don't think that's the point. I think, you know, it should be giving them a safe space, and they should choose as and when, you know, how to share it.
And I mean, I think I certainly think we need to get our children to do this. How do we actually get our children to do it? I mean, obviously, and they could potentially listen to this podcast, I think, you know, from age 12, but otherwise sort of mentioning to them the sort of benefits. But have you found any sort of tips in terms of encouraging children to do it? Because, you know, if it's the parent going every night, remember to do your journal, that lasts maximum a few weeks and then like it's forgotten. Exactly. No. They need to want to do it.
Yeah, they do. They do. I totally agree. I mean, I spend a lot of time kind of making sure that the journal feels and looks like something the child wants to take ownership of. So we've got like a super lovely soft tactile cover. They love kind of, it's a beautiful object, it's a beautiful book. And they like to take ownership of it. Some kids decorate the cover, you know, others keep it with teddy on their pillow. It becomes a very precious possession. I certainly think if there's any resistance to filling it out, then, you know, just leaving it on the bedside table, encouraging it as part of bedtime, but not enforcing it. It may be that they're not ready to do it every day. Maybe they want to start it gently. Certainly offering to do the writing is important, because often that's a barrier where they're just too tired. They don't want to write, but they're happy to talk to you. And just kind of, you know, bringing it in as part of a routine. I mean, there's some stuff at the beginning that kind of explains to them about, you know, why happiness is important and some of the principles of doing it. I also included a kind of like, because our brain does love rewards. So in the at the front, if they want, there's like a little page that says, you know, I'm going to fill out my journal. And then we set some, like if I do it for a week and after a month, like little rewards, like nothing, you know, some parents get a bit carried away. So I did actually change the wording to make it really clear. It's not like a spending exercise, but it's about just marking the moment, like, oh, here's some stickers or is a pen, or you get to choose what movie we watch on movie night, you know, like just a little kind of nice treat that just kind of marks the occasion and helps them establish the habit. And most of the time, once they kind of get going, they enjoy doing it and they fill it out and then they're keen to continue. And then that habit's kind of become a loved part of bedtime.
And how long until you notice a difference in your happiness or in their happiness?
I think it's hard to say. I mean, the studies show that there's a difference after journaling just for 7 days. So I think it's about consistency. Most important, it's about how, you know, how you engage with it and how kind of serious you are about wanting to do the reflecting and the gratitude challenge, that you'll feel the difference. I mean, we kind of try and reinforce it at home by doing, you know, like the gratitude jar, but also by sharing our top three things at dinner. So we're kind of bringing it into the rest of the day as well. And also I think it's really important as parents to kind of model the behavior. So, you know, the kids will see me journaling, they'll see me doing the Headspace app. It's not something that is hidden or done behind closed doors. Like, it's very much part of the day. And so for them, it just feels like a normal thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I've been doing, it's not even in a formal journal, but I just have a little notebook by my bed and I write down the things that I loved about the day. So it's the last thing I think about. And being 42, I'm at the age where I kind of forget everything. And it's such a nice thing to look back on, because I remember, you know, the hilarious things my children said, the funny things that happened to us, the really special things that often I would have forgotten. And then sharing that with them, we all have a good laugh about what someone said, and they find these stories from their childhood just brilliant. So, you know, for me, that was a really powerful way of saying, why don't we all do this? And then we can all kind of hold on to these memories that we'd otherwise forget.
It's lovely. Yeah, it'll be such a lovely keepsake in years to come to look back on what it was that you thought was important when you were 6 and a half and filling out your journal.
Oh, well, Francesca, it's been so lovely to chat to you. You've really inspired me. I've got to say, I've been a bit lax with my little notebook recently, and I'm definitely going to do it. And it just seems like a simple way of becoming happier that doesn't involve lots of money and lots of time, and actually be quite fun to do.
Yeah,
I also love that kindness is at the heart of your company. I mean, obviously, kindness is a big part of happiness, but you donate through charities journals for children who aren't necessarily in a position to be able to buy them.
Yeah, absolutely. This was something that I was so proud we were able to do last year. We had applied for Innovate UK funding at the start of the year when they launched a scheme to kind of help businesses address issues relating to the pandemic. And we managed to get two rounds of funding, and we literally distributed thousands of journals straight to schools. They were able to apply to us for children on free school meals. And so we sent out those journals. And then as part of our own kind of efforts, we worked direct with a number of charities. And by the end of the year, we had shipped out over 10,000 journals to kids that would otherwise not have got hold of them. And so to me, being able to do this as part of the business and, like, you know, to show my children that our business can do good and we can grow as a business and find ways to do this is really, really important. And it just was such a nice thing to be able to do last year, which was such a difficult year for so many reasons, that we were able to get those journals out was good.
Well, you're a real inspiration, and thank you so much. It's a fantastic product, I've got to say. I love how much effort you've put into making it feel like a sort of really luxurious product, because actually entrusting children to, you know, or encouraging children to entrust their feelings to a book, I think, deserves a beautiful book. So I think it's actually really clever that you've done that. So thank you. So the Happy Self Journal is available. It's on Not on the High Street. You can buy it at Liberty and direct from you. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. We're at happyselfjournal.com.
Perfect. Well, I actually, as we've been talking, I was thinking, I think I might send them out to all my godchildren, because I think that's a really lovely thing to do at the beginning of the year when life sometimes feels a bit grey. And it might just be a welcome boost. And if it makes them even just a tiny bit happy, I think that's worth doing.
Oh, thank you. That's absolutely lovely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure chatting to you.
That's a pleasure. Francesca, thank you. And thank you all for downloading this episode of The Parenthood. You can subscribe, rate and review us wherever you found this podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm at marina.fogel. But in the meantime, from Francesca and me, thanks for listening and goodbye.